Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is. Talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Push and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaged listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
It's your boy, Big Pudge.
So we got a topic ahead of you. I don't want to call it a great topic, but this is a great show. We want to talk about the Vegas shootings that everyone else is talking about, but we want to give our Crosstalk perspective. But I know I've been hearing a lot about it on Facebook. I haven't really had time to really dive into the news outlets and everything. And plus, you know, I saw some people saying it was some of the stuff was staged or conspiracy theories, all kinds of different things. I don't know. I don't know
wow.
any. I don't put any stock into any of that stuff. I have to do my own research. But the fact is, you know, somebody did go in, people did get shot, and they are dead.
Right.
So Pudge, I know this was on your heart. You want to talk about it. Of course, I'm down with it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna let you read off or talk about. Just talk about it, man. What happened? Everybody don't know what happened.
I don't even know exactly where to start, man. I just know a guy by the name of Stephen Paddock. It's days after, he rented a room in downtown Las Vegas at the same time as another music festival. Someone named Stephen Paddock also rented reserved a room at the Blackstone Hotel in Chicago during the Lollapalooza Music Festival.
So it's the same guy?
Same guy. They're saying it's unclear if the person in Las Vegas is the same person, you know, in Chicago, but it's the same name that the room was rented under.
That's a couple of coincidences that the room's out there by the music festival. So
yeah, now he could have took someone's name and just used that name to rent these different rooms. They're just saying that. I was watching CNN this morning. They're saying that the profilers are baffled because he doesn't fit any profile. You know, profilers, when they profile, you know, criminals or whatever you do, he doesn't fit not one profile whatsoever. And that's what's really baffling the majority of the people. I mean, the profilers, because they can't understand why. So first of all, you know, I was like I said, I was looking at today on CNN. And he said he's a 64-year-old man, which was mind-blowing to a lot of people because many of the profilers, they was like, once when you have psychotic thoughts or when you're, what's the word that people use? It's like narcissistic, is that the word?
Narcissistic when you think about yourself all the time.
Okay, it's one of them things where you just naturally crazy. Like, it's another word for psycho. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much what they're saying is, by the time you're 60 something, that phase is gone. If you would have already flipped out before you hit 60. Oh, I got you.
Like spaces that
like the profilers are saying, like, you know, if you dealt with like stuff going on in your head mentally and whatnot, you spaz out way before you're an old person.
So basically, you're saying the signs would show up way before you're in your 60s.
And he would have been like, something like this would have happened 20 years ago in his life. Around his age time is when he was filthy rich. He had like 4 or 5 estates. They showed how much money he had as far as his wealth. I mean, he wanted for absolutely nothing. Everybody that talks about him say he was a good guy, from the girlfriend to his parents. So apparently he wasn't. You know, he wound up killing 58 people and injuring over 200 people. So they're still really, really baffled about how all this is coming from. Like, so it's kind of mind blowing, man. That if you just ask me, it's one of those things where it is a sign of the times, where it's the end of times, where you now have somebody who doesn't fit a profile. You know what I'm saying? And these are the things that's talked about in the rapture when it comes. These are the things that's talked about where the things that the world is the catastrophic events that are normal, that people are used to normally seeing are happening, but people can't. He can't even put it together. And that's just a news clip. As a matter of fact, it's a news clip. Just to give more specific information, you want to play it?
Or you
can speak free, because I'm like,
I want you to read a little bit more if we need it, because the stuff you read might explain the same thing in the news clip. I don't have a problem with playing it, but I'd rather just go ahead and dive in real quick.
Okay.
As you're talking, man, I was thinking about the spiritual aspect of that as well. But I really want to get all the information out there before I dive in on the spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. So my question is, because I know you're sitting there looking at the report, I'm not. He's 64 years old. Mm-hmm. Was he 64? Well, he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
And he went in and shot up a bunch of people at this Vegas concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rich, doesn't fit any profile.
50 pounds of explosives.
50 pounds of explosives.
1,600 rounds of ammunition in his car in the hotel parking lot.
So he staked out. He staked this out. It's premeditated, obviously. Yeah, okay.
Definitely premeditated.
So let me ask you this. So, he got killed, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me read it, because I honestly don't know.
So I thought he had got killed. I wasn't sure, but go ahead.
Because I'm looking for, and I wondered,
Wait a minute, is that the actual report, though?
Yeah, the actual report. That was the actual report on CNN News.
The clip that
was
playing. Yeah. Well, play that for us.
Just in the past year, many of those 33 may have been stockpiled inside his Mandalay Bay hotel suite, where he orchestrated a shooting massacre. The spray of bullets lasted 9 to 11 minutes, killing 58 country music concertgoers. Inside the suite, investigators counted 23 weapons.
It is still being determined which firearms were used in the shooting.
12 of the weapons inside Paddock's room were equipped with bump fire stocks, a device demonstrated in this YouTube video. It allows the weapon to fire in rapid succession, simulating fully automatic fire. A bump fire stock is legal and easy to obtain.
Very easy. It can be purchased directly from the company or in different online sales from a number of vendors.
Investigators have uncovered 47 firearms so far, 23 from inside Paddock's hotel room, and another 24 from his homes in Mesquite and Verde, Nevada. Law enforcement sources say Paddock has been accumulating his collection of weapons for the past 20 years. The sales apparently never raised any red flags, since Paddock had no criminal history. And out west, the possession of large quantities of firearms by hunters and collectors isn't uncommon.
There are states in the country where there's a lot of hunting that goes on and outdoor activities. There are also areas where you have a higher population of collectors. So the purchase of that many firearms in and of itself would not necessarily be an indicator for us.
Rabati estimates Paddock's arsenal costs tens of thousands of dollars, with some weapons costing $2,000 to $4,000 each. Paddock purchased his guns in 4 separate states, Nevada, Utah, California, and Texas, according to the ATF, frequenting shops in Nevada. He bought several long guns at Cabela's in Verde, according to a law enforcement source. In Las Vegas, he bought a shotgun and a rifle from the New Frontier Gun Shop and two rifles and one handgun from Discount Firearms and Ammo in November and December of 2016. In Mesquite, Paddock purchased a handgun and two rifles from Guns and Guitars within the past year, and the owner of Dixie Gunworks in St. George, Utah, sold Paddock a shotgun.
He passed all of our background checks here in the store. He passed every red flag that could have popped up. But it's still there. It's still something that I'm still going, what else could I have done better?
There is no national registry of firearm ownership in the United States, so even though Paddock acquired 33 guns in the span of 1 year, since they were from different locations and he presumably passed background checks, no red flags were ever raised, enabling Paddock to carry out his horrific attack.
Now the part that's cracking me up is, there's not a certain limitation on how many firearms you can possess.
Yeah, it seems like it would be.
Like, especially now, it seems like he was trying to be slick by going to different states and purchasing them. So it seemed like all purchases would come from one state specifically. So it seemed like, you know, he might have been thinking the red flag would show up if I continue to keep buying guns in this one specific state. So let me just kind of travel all over, you know, that way to slow up the red flag if there is going to be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you said you wanted to talk about the gun, you know, the gun laws and stuff like that. They spoke a lot about how every state, every gun, 33 guns, no red flags, all of them legally purchased. And, you know, we're talking military firearms, not firearms that deer hunters use, not firearms that cops use. These are firearms that the military uses, you know, for straight war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thing is, though, like, there should be a national registry for that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know, you know, with this thing, there's several different ways we can talk about it. But right now, I want to deal with the gun laws.
Uh-huh.
You know, because when stuff like this happens, it's always a knee-jerk reaction. Like, okay, we need strict gun laws. You got people that say that.
Right.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that. But as I look at the statistics, the statistics give me a different viewpoint. Because I was one of those people who say, well, if you outlaw guns, then only outlaws will have guns. You know, that kind of thing. And people who shoot people, you know, they don't care whether the gun is legal or not.
Right.
So I looked at the stats of the guns who have the states who have the strictest gun laws versus the states who have the looser gun laws, right? And so I did the top 10 states who had the ones who had the least gun violence. I'll read the 10 states off because I want to give y'all facts. Uh-huh. Wisconsin, Iowa, California, Minnesota, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Hawaii. Those are the 10 states who have the least gun violence in the United States of America.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, you look at California, so you think of LA. You look at New York State, you think of New York City.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, but they're not just looking at the cities, they're looking at the entire state.
Gotcha.
Okay, but those have the least gun violence. And out of those 10 I just named, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them have very strict gun laws. The strictest gun laws in the nation.
Like, when you say strict, like, can you elaborate? Like,
when I say strict, you can't just go in there. Like, in Georgia, you can go in there and buy a gun, clean background check. There's no permit required to own a gun.
Yeah.
These other states, you have to have, I think, I don't know what all the requirements are, but I know these states, you are required to have a permit to even purchase a gun.
So you got to have a permit before you even get the gun.
Yeah, you got to have a permit to even own the gun.
Oh, okay.
And so I looked at that, and then I looked at the other states, the 10 states with the worst gun violence. Georgia made a top 20, but the top 10 are Oklahoma, South Carolina.
Wow, you said Oklahoma, South Carolina.
Yeah, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arkansas, Montana, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. And Alaska has the highest amount of gun violence.
And, Alaska?
Yeah, I know, right? But the thing is, when it comes to certain states, when they do these statistics, they go by suicides as well.
Oh,
so Alaska's number one for our suicide rate. Now, the gun violence as far as people killing other people with guns, it's probably lower, but the suicide rate is high in Alaska and in Montana. Mm-hmm. And the statistics show that in states where it's more rural, suicide is at a high rate. Okay. But also, of course, it's easier to kill yourself with a gun.
It is.
So if it's easier to access a gun, it's easier to kill yourself with a gun.
Right.
And so I'm actually, I'm not going to say guns should be illegal or outlawed, but I definitely think gun, far as on the national, on the, I guess on a natural government level, we'll go to the spiritual side later, but on the natural gun level or natural government level, it definitely needs to be a stricter gun policy.
Right.
You know, for one, they should be a national registry. And I think, honestly, I think it should be the same gun laws for every state. I think it should be federally regulated, personally. It should be the same gun laws for every state. I don't see what the difference would be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my personal opinion. But you know, people look at it like, well, you know, people take the AR-15s and they kill people when those are mass shootings. Yeah, but most of the crimes committed by guns are actually with the handguns. It has nothing to do with the military weapons.
Oh.
You know, military weapons on an individual basis or a local basis, it might be high, but on a national average, handguns, more people get killed with handguns more than any kind of gun, of course, because it's compact.
And
it's
that
kind of
makes, that it does make sense. It does.
I do agree that if you outlaw guns, then outlaws will have guns. You know, but it still will. I'm not saying you should outlaw guns. I'm saying that gun laws definitely need to be reformed and enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you can access these weapons of destruction and kill people like you're doing, walking in concerts, shooting up 50 people, and walking schools, killing people, then there's an access problem. Yeah, I understand people will murder you with knives, and people get murdered by off-site types of stuff, vehicular homicide and all that kind of stuff. But it's much easier to kill somebody with a gun as opposed to walking to them, stabbing them. You know, you ain't going to be able to stab a mass amount of people with a knife.
Yeah.
So it does create a potential for higher murder rates when you have these weapons these weapons are so easily accessible. So definitely it needs to be some reforms made.
Mm-hmm.
The mental evaluations, yeah, of course. I think it should be like, you know, even with a car, you know, you have a test, you have a permit.
You gotta go through
just to get a driver's license.
You can drive license,
yeah,
right.
And you could, but I would think you can kill more people with a gun than you could with a car. Even being a horrible driver,
right.
Even being a drunk driver.
Right. True.
So I think, you know, it should be some kind of, and plus two things will happen. If you gotta go through all that, it's be like, nah, it ain't that important. You know,
right.
If I gotta go through all that to get a legal gun, or they're gonna get it illegally, but it still will keep some people from getting guns.
Right.
Even if they, you know, but the point is like, It's something has to be done differently. Our way is not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I got as far as the gun statistics. You know, let's see. Nationally, in 2014, there were 21,334 deaths.
Gosh.
Gun-related. And that was suicide.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that's a serious issue, too. You know, so people with guns definitely do kill people. Whether it be each other. So guns being accessible are really killing people, period.
Right.
Accessible, legal or illegal. You know, of course, when you make something legal, you know, you're not going to get rid of all of it, but it will cut down. Mm-hmm. I mean, as the stats show, the states with the stricter gun laws will have the least gun violence.
Right.
The states with the lenient gun laws, you just walk in a pawn shop and come up with a gun the same day. You know what I'm saying?
And that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the shooting range. My gun broke. I bought a gun at the shooting range that same day. No big deal. You know,
it's just really, really easy.
Yeah,
and
it's super easy
to just get them. Yeah.
And of course, what happens with that situation is, you know, people from these lenient states can buy these guns, go sell them across to other states that have stricter gun laws.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It needs to be federally regulated as opposed to just an individual state thing. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. He was 64,
mm-hmm.
And from what I read, he shot himself.
He shot himself.
He shot himself. He
See, was there you go. Another suicide with a gun.
Yeah, he shot himself, and it's just crazy because you know, everybody that they have literally spoken to. Talking about this guy, it's blowing everybody's mind.
Of course.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like one of the things where you can live next to your neighbor, talk to him every day for 30-some years, but never know his true intent or what's going on in his mind, his mindset, because neighbors, parents, girlfriends, everybody was just like, nobody even saw this side of him, you know? So it's really, really sad. They say he sprayed, you know, one of the security guard cops entered the hallway where he was actually at, and he sprayed over 200 rounds in the hallway alone. You know, he grazed the cop, you know, but the cop didn't die, and it's like, so flight. And they said it was 10 minutes. Like, he was literally shooting down on 22,000 people for 10 full minutes.
How was he able to do that? Where was the security?
I don't know, but all I know, he was there. That's what I just read. Yeah. For 10 minutes, he was able to shoot. That's a long time to be shooting people for 10 full minutes.
And a lot of ammunition.
Yeah, and they said, like, this morning on CNN, they're saying he had to have had help. They were saying there's nowhere in the world he could have did all that by himself. They don't know. They still speculating, you know, about him having help. You read some of these people's stories, man. An older guy dove on top of his wife to protect her. He wound up dying, you know, and there's so many. And that wasn't
that's sad, man.
Off-duty cop, black cop, was killed. He was there at the concert. He went into cop mode, you know, there, and he wound up getting killed too. So it's really sad that you know, a lot of innocent people lives were taken away at this time, and it's one of things where no matter how much investigating, no matter how much, you know, the person is dead, so this is why they're saying we'll probably never know a lot of things, because you can't pick a dead person's brain. You know, so they're looking at it like, I look at it like, on a spiritual sense, I look at it like this. God allowed it to happen for a reason. You know, nothing happens unless God allows it. So why did you allow this to happen, Lord? Is this just another sign of you just showing how disobedient the United States is? Because my thing, God can use anything to wake the United States of America up. He allowed 9/11 to happen. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time in my entire life where I saw the whole United States of America, racist people and everything, all come together because we all live. You know, it's the first time I ever seen unity amongst different factions and sections of people who don't like other people, stuff like that.
I felt
that.
Closer,
so,
too, at that point.
Yeah, it did. So
tragedy,
like,
has a way of bringing people together.
It's sad, you know? But it does. And this is one of those things where it's like, I believe God allowed the key word is saying, because my thing is, I'm saying allow, because I don't know if God orchestrated this or not. Like, people will really think that, why would God orchestrate something like that? But if you look back to the Bible days, God orchestrated a lot of disaster, you know, to wipe out generations and stuff like that. So I can't say God did not orchestrate this. What I can say is, I can't say he did or did not orchestrate it. What I can say is, and we know for a fact, is he allowed it to happen.
Yeah. I agree with that. I want to dive a little bit more into that, though, since you done jumped all in the spiritual side, which is great. And, you know, a lot of people, I was going to ask you about that earlier. Do you think it's God's wrath? I don't think it's God's wrath. I don't think it's, we're in a time where we have God's wrath. I think we're in the grace dispensation when it comes to time.
Right.
However, in a lot of times, I think even in the biblical times, I'm not sure if everything that was happened in the biblical times was God's wrath, or I look at it differently. Now, I mean, God is God; He can do what He want to do. I can't question as far as, like, I can question by asking, but I can't say I understand how God thinks, because the Bible says we don't know. God doesn't use our ways, like,
right.
You know,
right. His ways are not
our ways. I'm trying to say,
right?
Okay, but my thing is this: it's like there is a spiritual world out there. There are spiritual laws in place,
right?
And it's like, these things are in place. God can't change spiritual law, because then He becomes manipulative. He's God. If he puts a law in place, it is established that is a law in place. He will not change His law once He puts it in place.
Exactly.
So you can't pray your way around a spiritual law. You cannot do that.
Right.
Okay. But the thing is like, I think when people look at rules, like when God said, don't do this, don't do this, they look at it as like a religious thing. Like, oh my, you know, God is this, God is saying this and that. But mm-hmm. I don't look at it that way. And that's not my understanding, especially as I grow. It's like, God is our Father. He cares.
Right.
So he knows the laws that's in place and he knows the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, when God is telling you not to do these things, he's telling you these things
for a very good reason.
For a good reason, but he's telling you these things for your protection because right. he knows what's coming.
Right.
That's why he told him not to eat off the tree in the garden, because he had to have a choice. I mean, it's a two-part day. They have to have a choice
right.
to choose right mm-hmm. or wrong. But he knew what was going to happen once that happened, once right. they ate from the tree.
Right.
Okay, so if God's telling you to do this, it's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like he told me not to eat pork, it's a reason.
Right.
But so my point being, God always sends warnings, hands down.
Before destruction.
Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, even in, especially in Genesis when they talked about when he went to the Pharaoh's, like, let my people go. And Moses straight up told him, like, look, this is what God's saying. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen.
Right.
And it happened.
Well, don't, if you believe it or not, this is what's going to happen.
If you don't do this, this is going to happen. So it's like me telling my kids, do not touch the stove. If you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. Did I punish them because they touched the stove? No, that was them reaping the consequences of what they, by not doing what I told them to do.
Right.
So I'm looking at this, and I'm not trying to make something like deeper out of, you know, so it's a tragic situation either way. Whether, you know, the flood was a tragic situation. When Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed, it's a tragic situation, in my opinion. Anytime a mass amount of people are getting killed, anybody dies.
Right.
And, you know, it's a other than natural cause, it's a tragic situation.
Right.
But there is something to it, y'all. But the point being is, like, if God's been telling you, like, look, follow me or this is going to happen. People act like so stuff, bad stuff happened. It's always God's fault. And a lot of time, it's not God's fault. It's like, exactly. God already told us what to do. It's like you driving a car and you run out of gas and you blame the manufacturer. Like, it's the manufacturer's fault this car ran out of gas. Like, no, if you look at the manual, it's telling you how to take care of your car.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you read the manual on the person who created the earth, the heavens, and your life, and your body, and he's telling mm-hmm. you what to do,
right.
then you need to do it.
Exactly.
If God knows his spiritual implications, when you walk out of God's will, you subject yourself to a lot of spiritual stuff that happens to you, bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, me and you talk about it off the air. I'm talking about the book called The Harbinger. And it's like God mm-hmm. sent several warnings. And this book shows you the warnings that God sent. Then he shows the consequences for not following those warnings.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 had already been warned. Right. Then this came. Then, you know, this stuff. Like even the crash, you know, that stock market, the big crash of like 2007, that was already predicted.
Right.
But we have several warnings up to that point. When you have a warning, that means it's something worse coming.
Right.
And I'm not one of these doomsday people, but as I grow and I study and God reveals stuff to me, I'm not convinced those people's crazy as I thought they were. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this stuff is real, people. Like,
right.
I mean, how much proof do you need? Like, there was a time when you can go, when you can send your kids to school and not think about, or even, that would never cross my mind, my kids might get shot in school today.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time where you can go to a concert and not worry about somebody stealing a freaking hotel shooting for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've been around the hood, like, so that stuff, you know, that stuff doesn't happen like that in the hood, like
no,
it don't.
No, and definitely not 10 minutes.
No, in the hood, the gunshot rang off, everybody clear. I seen it.
Right, right.
But it's like, this stuff is not normal, y'all. This is not how life was intended. Not what God intended.
It's not at all. So
I can't sit here and try to water down the truth. I can't sit here and act like there's not a spiritual implication at play. When you see stuff like that happen, whether you believe in the spiritual or not, there's evidence that there's spiritual play. Believers understand that. When you see stuff like that happen, you know, there's spiritual stuff manifesting in the physical. Now, what more proof do you need? The guy wasn't crazy. He was rich. You know what I'm saying? We can't right. find a motive.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just stocked up all the stuff. A sane person set up all this stuff for however long and shot for 10 minutes and killed all these people, wounded 200 people
mm-hmm.
for no reason. And in his mind, there's a reason. Yeah, in his mind, there's a reason. Heck, it might not be a reason.
Right.
You know, when you have people that seem normal and they cut up and just go off the deep end, sometimes we call it snapping,
mm-hmm.
but there's a spiritual implication. And there's a demon involved. And I'm not going to, I can't sugarcoat it today, man. I don't ever sugarcoat, but I'm not going to water down for people. I'm just talking real because, you know, you got all this worldly stuff. People giving you worldly advice on how to deal with natural stuff. But it starts in the spiritual.
It does. Every single time.
Everybody want to ignore the spiritual. Then when stuff like this happens, pray for the victims, pray for the families, pray for the stuff. We're supposed to be praying and doing our part before this kind of stuff happens.
Exactly.
I'm just passionate about this because I know what we're supposed to be doing. It's frustrating when you feel like you're screaming at the top of your lungs and warn people
and no one's listening.
And every time, you know, no one listens, people die.
Right.
It's not that I'm just so religious that I just want to. These are warnings because I love people. We care for people. But look, there's a spiritual implication that plays a spiritual war that's being fought right now.
Right.
And when you see stuff like that happen, that's it coming to your life. That's coming to your doorstep. Exactly. When kids get shot up in schools, when people go in the club and shoot up a bunch of gay people, it's not always a wrath. It's a spiritual implication for something that's not right in that spiritual atmosphere.
Right.
That means, you know, when you walk away from God, when you consistently turn away from God, God pulls back because he's loving like that. If you don't want me, I'm not going to force myself on you. When I pull you, so if you live in my house, I'm taking care of you, and you don't want to stay in my house no more, and you leave, and you get rained on, or you starve death out there, it's not my fault. It's not that I'm punishing you. You chose to go there, and I cannot force you to stay with me. That's how God operates. So when you operate outside of God's law, you're telling God you don't want him in the school because you don't want people praying in schools. You get upset when people praying with the kids in the football fields or whatever.
Right.
And you start telling the world, you start trying to tell God, telling people what God said about marriage and stuff like that. You start getting away from what God established firmly in his word. Then you open yourself up, not for consequences, but for circumstances.
Right.
When you walk away from that stuff, you subject yourself to these type of things. All of it comes together. So the point being, people, what you saw was a person operating under demonic influence.
Right. Nothing but demonic influence, because God's love is the opposite of demonic, and God's love is just not going to do something like that.
And while I'm on my soapbox, when that stuff happens, you think about the end result. They always end up killing themselves. Well, not always. Most of the time.
Most of them, or they shoot out until they get killed.
Yeah, and that's also called suicide by. I almost want to call it suicide by force. You force the cops to kill you.
Yeah. But if
you think about it, like, I understand, like, if a crazy person go crazy and shoot you, like, he's already, like, you know, some people, like, they always seem crazy, so it's not surprising. But when you see a normal person with nothing, like, with no real, like, no rational reason to do this, it's more to it.
Yeah, it's a lot more to it. And it makes you just wonder even more, like, how off-center was this person and how long were they off-center?
And I'm going to be real. I'm going to have to be real because whether you believe it or not, stuff happens. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry but not sorry. Truth is the truth. Whether you believe it or not, there's a spiritual world, and it's bigger than our natural world.
Right.
Everyone on this planet hears voices. And I'm not saying in a crazy sense. We all have thoughts.
Right.
You have demonic thoughts. You have thoughts that come from your own self. And you have God talking to you. The thing is, if you listen to God more, that drowns out the other voices. So what I'm getting at...
It's good.
What I'm getting at is like, sometimes people can, you know, you, because I've listened to demonic voices before and I've done stupid stuff and God's voice was allowed to get me out of the mess I got myself into. You know, but what I'm getting at is like, when people go off and do like what this guy did, those voices could have been so loud that he listened to them and it became a thought, like he thought it was his own thought. If you don't recognize spiritual warfare, you will think these are your thoughts.
Yeah.
And it seems sane to you. Crazy people don't know they're crazy.
They don't.
Okay, but point being, what I think happens, Pudge, is that they fall into demonic influence to the point where they have no control over the situation. And then they go kill people. And then when the demonic force is done, now they're back to their normal mind. They realize what they've done,
and they can't handle it.
That's where the suicide comes in. That's what I think happens.
And which is all, at the end of the day, all a trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
To make you feel that guilt so strongly that you just want to take your own life.
Exactly. And so that's my point. That's my theory. I believe it to be factual. No one can convince me that anything different. Even if they prove this dude was crazy, it does not tell me in the spiritual realm that he was not under demonic possession or influence.
I don't see how you can. Say he wasn't up under. We're strictly talking about the spiritual right now. I don't see how you could say he wasn't up under demonic influence. What other else influence is that?
He wasn't even on drugs.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, I mean, so I'm like, what other influence was there? And then, when you're on a certain amount of drugs, that it may call you hallucinate to feel this kind of way, you know what I'm saying? it opens up other portals to come in. So it's not even, you're not even completely sane at that point once you start taking drugs. And for him to be completely sober, meaning like not on any kind of medication or anything like that, but in his mind, he's in the same mind. That should really, again, like people, God is not an evil God. He is a very, very loving God. He does allow things to happen to people and to this world because it's a lot. It's sometimes it's a wake up call. Majority of times, it's a wake up call. They had one guy who was an agnostic. Dude said he never believed in God, but until after this incident, he now fully believes there is a God.
Wow, I got goosebumps when I hear that, man. That's
right,
amazing.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is like I said, God allowed this to happen. And sometimes I know people can think it's really crazy. Why would God do that? But there are some people who God know for a fact when they born where they going. Because their life is already painted. Yeah. Life is already drawn, you know. And like you said earlier, we have that free will. God is not going to make us come to him. He's not going to make us bow to him, talk to him. He wants us to freely come to him. And it's like when you don't, he allows certain things to happen to open up your eyes. And the sad part is you know, when it comes to this agnostic person, all this had to happen for this one person to see that I am who I am real, and I'm assuming he saw things that only a being that does not breathe the air we breathe could have allowed this to not happen.
Yeah.
Or him seeing somebody get shot in the head right next to him, and he's looking around, he's the only one still standing.
Yeah.
But because that wasn't physics and science.
Yeah.
You know, like they always like to say, physics and science is the reason why this and that happened, but there is no God. He doesn't, like, this person was like, there is a God, and I know for a fact he's real because of what just happened.
Exactly. You can't explain some things away. You can't.
Everything ain't science.
Everything ain't science. God created science. The God you say don't believe in created science. But thing is, though, you will never be able to fully prove God inconclusively using science.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, and I had this conversation. I have the conversation a lot, honestly, but it's like, you know, it's like people always want to act like, well, not, I ain't gonna say people, but it's like people want to use different ways to measure if God exists or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the way people measure him, you're never gonna find God in the way you measure. You might find evidence that God is here. Like, my point is, you can't prove when exists, right?
Right.
Only way you know when is present is because the way stuff move when it's being blown by wind. It's the same way
you
experience God. You have to feel it in a spiritual sense. Like, you feel it. You can't explain God.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're looking at, like, my point is, like, you can't smell music.
Right.
But does it mean music is not real? No. Music is something you hear.
Exactly.
Okay? You can't taste music. Music, because music is something you hear.
Right.
So if you're looking for God to be physical, something you can see, touch, smell, and taste, then you're never going to look that way. Now, if you look into your spiritual, then that's different.
True.
Now, it's a lot of probability that God exists, but I can't ever say that I can prove to you that God exists, because, for one, you can't prove it, because God operates on faith. So you're never going to find it if you're trying to look for proof. You can look for evidence that, you know, it's like, this has got to be a God thing that way, but you can't say, hey, this is God right here. Here he is. I prove
right,
it. You can't
right,
do that,
right.
Because it requires faith. Once you become able to prove something, then it's no longer required by faith.
True.
It's faith. Faith is believing without seeing.
Right.
And if you can see it, touch it, whatever, then it's not faith. I don't have to believe this table exists. I see it. So it's not a faith move that
right.
I'm looking at this table in front of me.
Right.
So, yes, God does exist. But if you're looking for him to be proven in science or disproven, you're not going to, you can't.
Right.
It's not even fathomable. God doesn't work in those realms. God is above all of that stuff.
Yeah, he is.
But it takes something like that for some people to see it, and I'm passionate about this, man. I don't even really want to talk about this today, but you got me. I'm in my zone, man. I'm feeling it right now. But it's like, you know, people, and I'm just saying, it's not fussing at people, but it's frustrating as a believer, because I believe because I have experiences. I'm not some religious coon or gook or whatever you want to call it, spook, that you want to make stuff spooky. But stuff is real, and it's time to stop sugarcoating and take the gloves off and tell people this is real stuff. People are dying right now.
Yes.
So I ain't got time to be trying to debate religion and stuff like that, because I'm not a religious person. It's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
When God created the earth, it was about him and people. It had nothing to do with religion at all. So right now I'm talking to you from a spiritual perspective. But the point being is, like, people always want, well, how come God didn't do this? How come God didn't do it? How come God didn't warn us? How come God didn't do this? The fact is, if God's been warning you,
you ain't listening. Since the very beginning, since the Bible was started, he's been warning.
God, he inspired people to write the scrolls. He inspired people to put the scrolls together in one nice book for you. The book is the bestseller. Okay, right. You have televangelists now. You have YouTube with people telling you about God. You have the sanctuary, it's a Christian nightclub to introduce you to God. You have Crosstalk Radio. You have Christian rap. You have every secular genre of music. You have someone in there giving you a Christian message or a godly message, telling you what God is saying to you. Telling you what God is saying. You have church services. You have church in the bars. What else do you need? You have people getting killed left and right. Think about, if you want to go for statistics, look at the school system. Look at the world before they took prayers out of school. Look at the world before they approved gay marriage. It's not an anti-gay message. It's an anti- What I'm getting at is, like, when you move away from God's stuff and you start trying to say Earth's ideas are better than God's ideas, then things happen.
Right. And then that's when you're playing in dangerous territory, when you start doing stuff like that.
That's all I'm saying.
And God will let you do all that talking all you want, and you know, when the boo-boo hits the fan, then you realize that a lot of stuff you were saying was very incorrect, a lot of stuff you were saying that you should not have been saying.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And then you realize that God is the one that's allowing, may not be the author of it, but he's definitely allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, I've always been, I always was told that at some point in time, there's a certain amount of people that have to leave this earth before the year is over,
mm-hmm.
or what we consider a year.
Yeah.
which is the reason why, you know, a lot of people, Thanksgiving in December is really hard for them, because if you just look at a lot of deaths within the past, since you've been living.
Yeah.
A majority of deaths I've seen have always happened towards the end of the year. And it's always because it seems like God has a certain number of people that have to leave this earth before mm-hmm. before our physical year is over with. And it's one of the things where it's like, I believe during a whole year, God is constantly trying to show you things. Like, and these are people saved, unsaved, and during the year, God is trying to show you. He's constantly trying to reel you in. Or if you're reeled in, he's constantly trying to show you how to stay reeled in.
Speaking to you.
You know what I'm saying? Speaking to you constantly. And yes, we all get caught up with life. Trust me. Nobody knows more than me about getting caught up with life.
Yeah, we know.
It's just at a certain point in time that you have to realize that my life is not my own.
Exactly.
Even though I'm going through all this, like, I don't wake myself up every day. I don't blow brand new breath of life into my lungs every mm-hmm. day. Like, somebody is consciously making sure I breathe the right way every day, making sure I still have the access of my limbs all the time.
Exactly.
Like, if you're not agnostic, then you know that that's not you that's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't wake yourself up. You don't send a signal from your brain telling your arm to pick up this cup. You know what I'm saying? Like, God is the author of all that. So if he's the author of all that, why do people think that it's okay to do certain things to where, I'm not saying his feelings ain't going to be hurt. You know what I'm saying? He created all of us. And the thing about this is, he created tragedy. He created love. He created peace. He created disasters. You know what I'm saying? And some of these things he put in place, we don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea why God set up the earth to where if the volcanic inside up under the 800 degrees up under the seawater ruptures, it automatically causes a tsunami.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know why God does these things, but he does it. The thing about it is I focus on how loving he is because that's what he wants us to focus on. And I was just thinking about this on the way over here today, man. Like, if honestly, man, if this world was just a lot more loving, man, it would just be so much of a better place to live in. You know what I'm saying? It would be so much hatred that doesn't exist.
If it's love, hatred can't exist. If it's love there, like, if it's full love, a pure love, hatred can't exist.
Yeah, and I just wish, you know, and ultimately, I guess that, you know, God knew everything was going to happen before it happened, which is the reason why he probably was telling everybody, you know what I'm saying? Out of all these things, you know, love conquers everything.
It does.
So if you actually can channel whatever it is you're going through, and to, and then the key word is channel to his love, not your version of what you think love is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Our love is fickle, man. It's exactly, emotional. It's exactly. Like, if we cool, then I love you. If we ain't cool, I ain't messing with, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of read up on his love to even know what that is. And then when you read up on his love and truly adapt it, a lot of things, man, won't even upset you. True. That used to upset you back in the day.
You just have to tap in, man. And I agree. When you was talking earlier about God always speaking, it was explained to me like this. It's like, a radio, when you cut it off, it doesn't stop broadcasting, right? It's still broadcasting. When you cut it back on, you know, radio doesn't stop just because you turn the radio off.
Right.
So God is always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. There's never a time where he's not speaking to you. It's just that he operates on a frequency.
Right.
And it's like that frequency is always broadcast. You have to tune into the frequency, which is why sometimes you can tune in to God more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I feel like I'm so tapped when I'm praying more, when I'm studying more, when I'm speaking and reading more. It's like I'm tapped the heck in. But it's like I can feel myself when I'm not hearing from God as much as I used to. Like, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? I need to be tapped into your frequency. But he's always, whether you recognize what he's saying to you or not, that doesn't mean God is not talking. Exactly. It means you are out of range, or you're not where you're supposed to be, or something's, you need to tweak that knob a little bit more and tap in. You know, and that's factual. But you just man, I'm so passionate about it because it's not an I am emotional about this topic, but I'm more emotional about people being destroyed because of walking away from God. It's not even a sin thing, like God is angry thing. It's like I truly care for people. It's like I don't want you to walk in front of a car and get ran over. Like I'm trying to warn you. God is warning you. God is talking.
Exactly.
I don't care who want to debate with this podcast right now. This is for those who have ears, let them hear. I ain't got time to be debating right now with this, man.
Yeah. And it's not, to me, it's not even about a debate. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, facts is, this man doesn't fit any profile that these profilers can have been coming up with for decades, centuries. Fact is, he was in his mid-60s and He killed off people, no military background, you know. Yet he had the mindset of somebody who was in World War I, World War II. Like they was in a bunker, and,
wow.
And you know what I'm saying, and because you know when with situations like that, ammunition, explosives, they're your best friends, you know. So it was almost like he was in a situation like that, and they, like I said, mentally could have been mentally all in his mind. This is what he was setting up for, and the not the funny part. The profilers normally would if he had a military background, the profiles would immediately have been like, oh, he's in shell shock.
Yeah.
You know, shell shock is when you straight up think you're still in war. You can be walking down the street, city street downtown, but in your eyes, you hear somebody popping firecrackers and clapping, those are gunshots to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't profile him as that because he's never been in the military.
No.
So I believe God allowed it to blow analyst minds who don't think with a spiritual mindset. Mm-hmm. They think straight from an analytical mindset because that's their job. And it's blowing their minds because God is trying to get everybody to see that I am who I am. I am that I am, you know what I'm saying, who I say I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just because you went to school for this, you studied this, or you think you know everything from point A to point Z, you totally forgot who I am.
Yeah.
And I just put something in the mix to make you completely baffled because you can't figure it out. Like, at some point in time, I believe God does things to where it's like, okay, we've done all the analyzing we can do. This is the time where we have to include some kind of spiritual.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like doctors. Doctors all the time don't never want to say it's God. They don't never want to be like, oh, God, there is God. They strictly believe everything off of what they was trained, what they was taught. And when they can't figure something out, they just keep running more tests and just saying that, okay, this could be God. You know, you had, you know, saying you had this wrong with you. Now we can't find it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the, I've heard so many medical cases where people have tumors and then they go for a checkup and then next month, tumor's completely gone. Tumors the size of golf balls, but gone.
And that ties right back into my point earlier.
if you're trying to look for God in the science field, you're going to miss it.
Exactly.
So, exactly. Like, science can't explain everything. Sure I can. Love science. Don't get me wrong. I love science. They explain a lot. But when it comes to spiritual, science cannot touch the spiritual, really.
Not even close. Not even close.
And science is the study of things.
And that's the thing where people start going into the disbelief. Like, they start being in disbelief now because they can't scientifically figure it out.
Yeah.
But those are people who just don't want to believe that there's a God. They just want to believe that everything is based off science. Because my thing is, when you get to a place to where you realize that you can't figure out how science did that, then at that point you're in what we call denial.
But even with science, so science is a loose foothold. Has a loose foothold too, because science changes all the time. So how can you base on the sun that's always changing? Science changes. If you don't believe me, look at the history books. If you don't believe me, look at what they said was bad for you years ago. Now it's not. This is not bad. This is what caused this. This is what caused that. Science is always a study, educated guess a lot of the time.
Yep.
So science does change. So you can't base it. That's not a good standpoint. I mean, I think science is wonderful. It's a great thing to do. I love science and it does explain some things. But you cannot base everything off of science.
Nah, not even close. Because you will get lost and you'll be like a lot of agnostic people who strictly believe everything off science. Like whatever they can't figure out, they chop it up to science not wanting them to know.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, yeah. They chop it up to science not wanting. I've heard someone say, science has not revealed itself yet on why changed itself so from this thing to that thing.
So science is their God then.
Yeah, so pretty much what you're saying is I'm this far in denial. Like, I'm so stuck on believing that there is not a God.
Yeah.
I'm going to make science a God.
Yeah. I mean, think about what science said. Science, when I came up with school, science said Pluto was a planet.
Exactly.
Now that science says Pluto isn't a planet.
Now, same thing. I mean, you grew up in the same. I mean, oh my God, don't get me on my slavery, racism box. Because I'm like, Lord, I ain't going to go there. It's just that when you said that, man, me and you both grew up being taught that Christopher Columbus founded America. Like, to this day, I remember 7th, 8th grade being taught in a book, and a teacher's reading along with us.
That's
in this book that Christopher Columbus founded the earth. But my thing is, it just goes back to show you how.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and another thing God allowed the government to control what you're being taught, what you're being fed in your mind, what you're being fed on TV. He's still allowing all the stuff to be done now.
There's a time for it.
Yeah.
God works in time frames. Like, it was a specific time that Christ was supposed to come down and do his part. It's a specific time that he's supposed to start his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Everything with God is timing.
Divine timing.
We don't understand it. I don't care to understand that. That's why when you give Christ your life, you're trusting him with the steering wheel.
Right.
As a human, especially as a man, you want to control everything, but it's not always going to be the case. All right, we done preached him enough, Pudge.
Yeah, man, yeah.
But
yeah,
I want to say one thing, though.
Okay.
Fundamentally speaking, not even just from an educated person's standpoint, if I was a kid and you're telling me that you discovered something and there are already people there, that tells me that you didn't discover it. Like, exactly. I discovered Pudge's house and Pudge is sitting in there. I discovered his house. That's what Christopher Columbus did.
Exactly.
Or I don't know if he said he discovered something, but either way go, history tells us that he discovered America, although there are people already here, living here, that he did not bring here, so there's no way he discovered it.
Right.
In the story.
Right.
Case in point.
Right.
We got so lost about that all day.
Right.
But nevertheless, man, I don't have a specific resolve for the gun control issue other than I think it should definitely be some a lot more stricter policies, and definitely I think you should have to be approved. Mm-hmm. I think you should have to take. I think the stipulation should be similar to a driving test. And I think it should be federally regulated as opposed to across the board. Same laws across the board.
Right. Right.
Okay. Now moving on the spiritual side, America, world, turn back to God,
please.
And the thing is, it's like me pleading because it's like I'm in the same boat with you. If y'all keep on messing up, I'm gonna be experiencing the consequences that y'all reap. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm in the middle of an ocean in a wooden boat with you, and you got gas and matches trying to light a fire to the boat, I'm burning up with you. So I'm definitely like, yo, do not do that.
Right.
So America, seriously, for your sake, for my sake, for America's sake.
Right.
If you don't believe I'm saying search, I'm not saying seek a specific religion. I'm telling you to seek God for yourself. The Bible says, Ask, seek, you should find. Really seek. Don't seek with hoping you don't find, God. Yeah. Seek like you're looking for. Like, if you look for $100.
Expectation to find.
Yeah, if you're looking for $100, you're not seeking $100 like, okay, I hope I don't find it.
Right.
Like, you, if you're looking for $100, you're looking for $100. Like you know what? Screw the $100. Look for it like you look for your remote. Yeah. Like, people tear cushions open,
they
looking
will.
At the couches. Like,
they
so,
will.
When you truly seeking, you seeking. So I'm saying, I'm not asking you to seek religion. I don't want religion.
Right.
Seek God wholeheartedly. Seek His guidance in the situation. But I will tell you wholeheartedly, convinced as I am sitting here, that this is a spiritual war that y'all are seeing manifest in the natural.
It is. And if you don't get on the right side, you will be left. You will find yourself in a lot more desperate situations than you ever been. Like, this is the time where God ain't playing, man. He not playing at all. And you should just tell by the... All the events, all the tragic events that's been happening within the world, that you can tell that He's not playing. Like, you know, the time is ending soon. So, I mean, there's no way around that. There's no way you can delay time or postpone it. You know, we all operate off of His time. And if you don't get it together soon, man, like, you know, and that may sound corny, but you will be left behind. I mean, that's actual facts.
If you're lucky enough to be left behind, because the point is, we don't know the day nor the hour that we're going to pass away. I can get shot right now. I can die of a heart attack right now. My time is up. It's up. It don't matter how you go. Right. When your time is up, you're up. Like, even those people at the concert, nobody, I can't promise you what people thought, but I find it hard to believe that these people went to a concert knowing they're going to get shot and killed.
Right. And so, still went.
Yeah. So you can't tell me that just because, don't, if you're waiting on Christ to come back, and that's the moment He come back to get saved, then that's the wrong time. Right. If you're waiting to be on your deathbed and get saved, that's the wrong time, because we don't know the day nor the hour. We knew the day nor the hour. Of course, we would all wait. Well, if I'm going to die at 10:45, you know, this time, 10:44, I'm making sure I give Christ my, you know, make sure I get
give
that right
there. Get it yeah. in right then and there, right on
so,
that last hour.
You know, it's not a game. People die left and right. Kids die. So think about the kids going to school. So you don't, everybody doesn't have the luxury of dying in their sleep or dying of old age. Those kids went to school, they got killed, unfortunately.
That's true.
So we don't know. If kids are getting killed in schools, you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you true. Never know. So that's why I don't have time to be sugarcoating stuff and trying to, you know, play the fence and like, okay, I don't want to offend. Screw that crap, man. This is real life here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I ain't got time to worry about who get offended, who don't believe, who turned the podcast. I have a specific assignment, and I know I have a specific time that I'm supposed to say these things and do my part. We all have assignments and purposes, and I don't want to miss my purpose or mess up somebody else because I didn't share something and somebody's supposed to get this message and push it somewhere else.
True.
I don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Because I'm accountable. But nevertheless, we love each and every one of our listeners. You know, if there's anything we can do for you, we're always here. I pray for my listeners. I know Yusuf does too.
Yeah.
All of our listeners. Yeah, I don't take anybody for granted, so I definitely appreciate you tuning in. Even if you don't like what we say, I do appreciate you tuning in.
We do.
Hit us up, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any questions, anything we can do, any private prayer requests. Hit us up on Facebook, Crosstalk with a K, as always.
Right.
Also, make sure you tune in to the show. Like, if you missed this one, you didn't miss it. If you got families that want to listen, they can always go to crosstalk.buzzsprout.com and hear each and every single episode. We keep them up there. We don't take them down. Unless God tells us differently, but all of our episodes that we created, posted since March of this year, are still up there. So make sure you go in. If you want to download them, share them with your people. I don't care. But that's all I got, man. Let me. You got anything to say? I'm gonna do the shout out. Something we're gonna close out.
Nah, just you know, people, just stay prayed up. You know, hopefully this event will cause you to have a relationship with God. If you didn't, if you do have one, and it's been kind of vague, it'll cause you to get closer back to Him. He's your only comforter. The Holy Spirit is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. You know what I'm saying? God is, Abba is, you know, is the man that's in charge. There's no way around that. There's no way of wiggling through that. And if the world can just, you know, focus on love, period, people, I'm just, you know, imploring you to just, you know, from this time of tragedy and all the other tragedy we've seen within the past few years, like, just focus on love. Like, you know, try to keep positive energy within you. Try to keep positive energy around you. Speak positive energy to your life. Speak agape, God's love to your life. Speak it into your atmosphere. Yeah. Every single day. And I promise you, you know, it's a start. It's a start. You may not be able to change the world, but you can definitely change the atmosphere that's around you every single day. So if you're walking around with positive energy and a strong, loving heart, people have no choice but to feed into that. And when you're walking around, you're actually spreading love and happiness to other people, whether they want it or not. So that's just my take on everything.
Man, you said a lot. That's awesome. We have the authority to change the world. We have the authority to change the situations. In the beginning, God said, let them have dominion over this planet. Mm-hmm. That was his plan. It wasn't religion. It was his plan for us to have dominion over this planet.
Right.
So we take stuff in authority, and we're supposed to do our part.
Right.
So if you're a believer and you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you walk in the situation, it should change. If you're light in the midst of darkness, you should change the atmosphere by being in there. That's what I'm going to say. I don't want to keep on preaching to everybody. I hope y'all receive it. Pray that y'all receive it. Pray that everything's well in your world. Pray for reconciliation and healing if y'all dealing with anything.
Right.
I speak peace and prosperity in each and every listener's life right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, let me do our shout outs. I'm all spiritual right now. Man. It's like, I'm just ready to go, man. I'm ready to go. But let me do our shout outs, man. All right, so we got to do our shout outs. I'm excited about this one, man, because this is cool to me. I shared it with you before. So shout out to Saudi Arabia, man. They tuned in. There's a city called Al Madina in Saudi Arabia that tuned into us, man. Six times. At first I thought maybe they hit it by error.
Right.
But nah. But shout out to Saudi Arabia. Excuse me. Shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia. Shout out to Phoenix, Arizona. Orlando, Florida. Lithonia, Georgia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Forest Park, Georgia. Conyers, Georgia. Fayetteville, Georgia. Dallas, yeah. Texas, shout outs to everybody that tuned in.
Yes.
Those are all our top listeners for this week, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. God bless you. This is Steph Swick.
This is Big Punch.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.